This is Bump and Beyond with Yolandi Becker, the show about pregnancy and babies. 101.9 megahertz of life.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. Yes, this is Bump and Beyond with me, your host, Yolandi Becker. And as always, we're talking parenting. This week, maybe a little bit at the end of last week, Discovery once again, Vitality is on a brainwashing Yolandi Becker mission, and they now wanting to track my sleep as well. Considering what I do for a living full time, this is my side hustle, as you all know. I always surprisingly feel that my sleep is not the best. I do think it has to do with the fact that I'm slightly older, that I'm female, and that I'm just busy and a generally wired, stressed out person. So I've never really wanted to wear my Garmin watch while I'm sleeping, and I always thought that it was going to impact my sleep, just wearing my watch while I'm sleeping. Surprise, surprise, it actually doesn't bother me as much as what I thought it would. And hey, according to my Garmin, I'm sleeping relatively well. So I was pleasantly surprised. It's only been, I think it's now 5 days, but it's looking good. I'm getting the points that I need. But it kind of, again, brought up a lot of things for me when it comes to sleep and how important it is. And I think generally, when we look at our health, sometimes we underestimate the impact that good sleep has. Unfortunately, our own habits might not always be the reason why we're not sleeping. Our children's sleeping habits obviously can have an impact on our sleeping. But I am a true believer that when you look at good health, and I'm talking here physical health, mental health, all kind of thing, it's the foundation of that is sleep. You cannot benefit from things like a good diet or good exercise if you do not recover from it. And that's why sleep is a vital, it's not a luxury thing to have, it's a vital part of your health, and it's the foundation of everything. Okay. A lot of things happen while we are sleeping. But again, unfortunately, it's not always our fault when we are waking up. And this is obviously a parenting show. So I think sleep itself is something that lots of parents crave and are desperate for. And today we are specifically talking about that. And as always, I bring in the experts to talk about this. And according to Gabi Udelowitz, did I say that right?
Yes, you did. You did. It's not an easy surname to say.
I feel like on our radio station, it's slightly easier for people to say your surname. But I manage. So Gabi is joining me today. And according to her, sleep is possible for every family. And that's exactly what we are going to be talking about today, is the fact that, again, like I said, it's sleep is not a luxury item yet. It should be a necessity also for you, but also for your baby. So thank you, Gabi, for joining me today.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me and for the opportunity. I'm so excited to be here. You know, this is my favorite topic to talk about, so I'm really excited to get into it.
Yes, and Gabi is part of our community. So, yes, for that reason extra, I'm happy that she's here. She is a certified sleep consultant, but she's also a mother of two. So, yes, I feel like that already gives you expert level in any kind of parenting topic if you are a parent yourself. But we are, like, living in a world where it's, like, filled with comparison, conflicting advice, exhausted parents, I mean, wondering what they're doing wrong. So I do hope that this conversation today is going to give you hope. I hope already just the fact that we said, you know, sleep is possible for every family is going to give you that hope, but also set realistic expectation. And then hopefully also the biggest part is give you some guidance to better your sleep in the end of the day. But Gabby, what do you mean when parents hear the phrase, sleep is possible for everything? What does that mean?
So, when I say sleep is possible for every family, what I mean is that it is absolutely achievable and attainable. So whether you have a newborn, a baby, a toddler, if you have the right guidance and the right level of support, and you're equipped with the correct tools and resources, you absolutely can have children who sleep well. It breaks my heart so often, I meet parents who say to me, they have a bad sleeper and they've just accepted it and they don't feel like there's anything that they can do about it. And I say it is absolutely not true. No matter how other, quote unquote, bad sleeper your child is, there is always a way to improve their sleep. It's possible. You do not have to feel like you're in the trenches and there's no way out. If you have the right information, the right resources, you absolutely can support your child to get them into good sleep habits, good sleep hygiene, and improve their overall sleep. So it's possible. If you're out there and you're listening to this, it is absolutely possible.
Yes, and I think that is such a beautiful and wonderful message to share as well. And I think from my perspective, often what parents, it's just like with us as adults, and there's certain things you can put in place that can better your sleep. I always say this, I'm the age where I need a specific pillow to sleep well. And that's just one thing. But there is certain things that we can put in place to better our sleep as adults. And it's exactly the same for babies. There is certain things that you can put in place to definitely better your child's sleep. We refer to these as the building blocks of sleep. So it is looking at different things. And I think sometimes as parents, we get so caught up in things like the perfect sleep and you're also things like sleep training. And we're like, you kind of go into parenting and you're like, I don't believe in sleep training. And you're kind of so set on those kind of ideas that you forget about the simpler things that can actually have a huge impact on your sleep.
This is Bump and Beyond with Yolandi Becker, the show about pregnancy and babies. 101.9 megahertz of life.
Yes, if you've just joined me, you are on 101.9 High FM, and this is Bump and Beyond with me, your host, Yolandi Becker. And as always, we're talking parenting, and today, making sleep possible for every family. It's exciting stuff we're talking about. As always, I would love for you to be part of this conversation. Send a shout out to us. Ask a question to Gabby, the sleep consultant and mom of two that's joining me today talking about this topic. If you have something specific you want to share, a question about sleep, ask it. But also if you just want to make a comment, I'm a grandparent and my daughter's children are sleeping really bad. Please come out. We would love to hear from you. So please do send us a WhatsApp on 061-895-1019. Do you have our Hi FM app? If not, why not? You should download it because you can literally on the app, like the first screen you're on, you can just click WhatsApp Hi FM and then you can WhatsApp us and then you can send a direct message just like that without having to worry about the number. But if you've missed it, it's 061-895-1019. Send us a message and be part of this conversation. Before we went to ad break, Gabby, I was mentioning that we also, we live in this world where we're bombarded with so much different information. And I think sometimes parents get stuck on certain parts of it and they don't realize that sleep is such a, it's like a Lego house of different things. And you don't have to have the perfect house in the end of the day, but small things can make a huge difference. But with this information overload, what is some of the biggest myths about sleep that you've picked up?
Great. I love this question because I love debunking some of these myths for parents and families. So top number one on my list is that sleep training involves crying and that it's harmful. Okay, that is a huge myth. And the reason why I say that is because it's absolutely not true. When sleep training is done appropriately, and I don't even like to call it sleep training. Over the years, it's developed such a negative connotation. I actually like to call it sleep coaching. When it's done properly in an age-appropriate way, and you know, myself, I focus on gentle techniques that are more personalized for families, because, you know, let's be honest, I don't believe in a one size fits all. We got to look at the individual families. Every baby is different. Every child is different. We need to cater to that child's particular needs. And when it's done properly, it can be done in a way where there is no crying that is involved at all. And an important point that I like to note to parents is that sleep training is totally safe when it's done in an age-appropriate way, and it supports the healthy development of the child that you're doing it for. And what a lot of parents are worried about, and again, it forms part of this myth, is that sleep training can harm the bond between mother and child. And in fact, it actually strengthens the bond, and it improves the overall connection and mood and well-being of the entire family. Because if you have a child who's not sleeping, you know, they're irritable, they're grumpy, they're not content. And same for the parents. I mean, in South Africa, 1 in 3 women suffer from postpartum depression, and 70% of that is owing to sleep deprivation, which is a very scary statistic. So if you have a baby or a child that is sleeping well, brilliant, they're going to be content and happy. And just as important as it is for the children, so too for the parents, because they're getting the sleep and the rest that they need. So please do not be scared of sleep training. It is so beneficial to the entire family. And another myth is that, you know, a lot of parents think that it's too late. It's too late. You know, my child is 1 year old. My child is 2 or even 3 or 4. It's too late. There's nothing I can do. And again, it is not true. It doesn't matter how old your child is. You look at their age, you look at their needs, and you can always implement still good sleep practices to help them get into a better routine, to fall asleep beautifully, to stay asleep throughout the night. So it's never too late.
Yeah. Again, one of my favorite topics to talk about, 100%. And I agree with you so much about this whole myth with regards to sleep training. And it's interesting always for me how parents perceive mental health when it comes to, because that's what parents are often concerned about, is that bond that they're breaking. And I think sometimes we also, or parents often misinterpret that physical presence means bonding.
And absolutely.
You can be physically with your child 24/7 and no bonding can happen because you are distracted. You're looking on your phone all the time. And that's often what happens. If you're feeding your child 10 times a night, it becomes work in the end of the day. And that's what Gabby was saying. It's like, in the end, you're bringing back that bond. And if you know what you feel like after waking up multiple times at night after 6 months, why are you thinking your child's not feeling the same way? They're also absolutely sleep deprived. So it is important to make sure that if you look at any mental health issues, things like depression and anxiety, they all go hand in hand with sleep deprivation. So the long-term consequences of your child not sleeping well will have mental health issues for your child, guaranteed. And 1 or 2 nights of trying to get them to sleep better is not going to change that trajectory. Don't put so much emphasis on one action. Parenting is a long game. But on that note now, is because you've also mentioned age-appropriate sleep interventions and things like that. What does good sleep look like for at the different ages? For newborns, for babies, for toddlers?
Okay, great. So we look at newborns. which are babies until about 4 months of age. And then we look at babies between, 5 to 24 months of age, and then toddlers from about 2 years and older. So if we look at newborns, for example, that's all about setting a good sleep foundation. And I mean, this is something you can even start the day you get home from the hospital, and it's simple tweaks that you can do to your baby's sleep environment and their routine, even as a newborn, to set them up for success when it comes to sleep and implement good sleep hygiene. So again, setting up the right sleep environment, making the room dark, having that white noise playing, getting them into an eat, play, sleep rhythm. So we're separating the eating and the sleeping association. During the first 6 weeks of life, newborns are developing their circadian rhythm. So we want to make sure when it's sleep time, they're in that beautiful sleep environment going to sleep. And when it's awake time, getting them out into the fresh air, the sunlight, so that they can distinguish the difference between night and day, and they don't have that confusion. Obviously, newborns are still waking up in the night to feed, but good sleep for a newborn is setting up, a feeding and eating and napping routine for the day. And then also, if they wake up in the night to feed, having good settling techniques to help them go back to sleep quite easily, so you're not up half the night trying to burp and swaddle your newborn and you're struggling to get them back to sleep. If we look at babies, so I'm talking around 4 months of age and older, this is really where we place a lot of focus on their awake windows and the structure of their day. So we're aiming to get babies at this age into a good routine and structure. So making sure they're on the right amount of naps for their age. So looking at their age, do they need 3 naps a day? Do they need 2 naps a day? Are the naps the right length? Are their awake windows appropriate? And most importantly, and this is what I really put a lot of emphasis on for babies 4 months and older, is good sleep looks like your child's ability to fall asleep independently. So when I say that, I mean teaching your child how to not be very reliant or dependent on the parent to help them fall asleep. And that is where the sleep coaching comes in, is if you teach your child how to fall asleep independently, that is something, that is a skill that they're developing, and it's going to help them to link sleep cycles. And we see from around 5 or 6 months of age, your child being able to sleep through the night and have beautiful naps during the day. And then, of course, we look at toddlers from around 2.5 years and older. A lot of toddlers at this age have dropped their naps. They're no longer sleeping during the day. But we're still looking at about 10 to 11 hours of consolidated night sleep that we're wanting to achieve for toddlers. And of course, their ability to fall asleep independently at bedtime. But because toddlers are, more cognitively mature, they're emotionally aware, we bring in the emotional maturity perspective with toddlers. So filling that emotional tank, making them feel very safe and secure at bedtime. These are a lot of the focus areas that I emphasize, especially when it comes to toddlers. So again, we look at the age range, and it's all about what is appropriate for that age and laying that very healthy, good sleep foundation.
If you've just joined me, you are on 101.9 Chai FM, and this is Bump and Beyond with me, your host, Yolandi Becker. And today I'm talking about sleep, and that sleep is possible for every family. I'm talking to Gabby Udilovitz, who is a sleep consultant and mom of two, who's been sharing very great, insightful tips and also norms with regards to sleep, because I think sometimes that's also very important. I remember, obviously, the birth of my sleep journey started with the fact that I wasn't sleeping myself as a mom. And I couldn't understand what I was doing wrong. But I very clearly remember going to one of these mom play groups, and everyone was just talking about their child sleeping through the night. And I'm like sitting there thinking to myself, what am I doing wrong that my child is not sleeping through? And then I was speaking a little bit more in detail with one of the moms, and I'm like, what do you do to try and figure out what she's doing that I'm not doing? And then she's like, yes, he's sleeping definitely through the night, He only wakes up 2 or 3 times for a feed at night. And I'm like sitting there myself, it's like, that is exactly what's happening with me. And I'm not calling that sleeping through. So clarity, because Gabby was also mentioning at 5 months, it is possible for children to sleep through the night. But what is sleeping through the night for you, Gabby?
Thank you. And I'm laughing at your story because so often I hear very similar stories from, you know, parents who I speak to. And you know what? At the end of the day, you need to do what works for your family. If you're okay getting up 2 or 3 times a night for your child, that's okay. No one is telling you that there's anything wrong with you or your child or what you're doing. But if you want to have a full night's sleep and your child's sleeping through the night, what that looks like is essentially your child's ability to put themselves back to sleep when they wake up. So nobody in the world sleeps through the night where they put their head on the pillow, close their eyes, and they're absolutely asleep until the next morning. Even as adults, if you think about it, you go to sleep at night, you might wake up in the night, maybe you hear a noise or something disturbs you, you look around the room, you put your head back on the pillow, you close your eyes and you go back to sleep. Okay, that's your ability to go back to sleep when you've woken up. It's exactly the same with babies. When they learn the skill of how to independently fall asleep at the start of bedtime, if they were to wake up in the night for whatever reason, they're able to put themselves back to sleep without parent intervention or without the parent helping them go back to sleep. And that's essentially the skill of sleeping through the night. So when your child is able to do that and you don't need to help them during the night, that for me would be, you know, the definition of sleeping through the night and what I hope to achieve with the families that I work with.
Okay. And when do you feel that is possible?
So again, it's different for different babies, but it is absolutely possible from 5 months of age for your little one to sleep through the night. Obviously, we look at the health of your child. Have they started solids? What's the calorie intake of the day for that child? How many feeds are they on? So there's lots of different components that I look at, but as a general answer, from around 5 months of age, it's absolutely possible.
Great. So, Gabby, another thing that you mentioned earlier when we were talking about the different ages, especially with babies, you were talking about the routine and schedule during the day and getting those naps right, getting those awake windows right. How important, and I mean, I think this is a narrative that we get fed quite a lot, is that, oh, you have to have a routine and schedule for your child because it makes a huge difference. How important is consistency and routines?
It is so, so important. I cannot emphasize that enough. And the reason why I say that is because for babies, the day influences the night. It's just a scientific fact. So if you have a baby who is, for example, sleeping too much during the day, they're going to be undertired, they're going to fight bedtime, and they're going to have multiple wake-ups during the night. Conversely, if you have a child who is not sleeping enough during the day, they're going to be overtired, they're going to have that spark of cortisol in their body, they're going to be distressed, and bedtime will be a battle, and also they'll be multiple night waking. So it's so important that we get that balance of day sleep correct in order to encourage that consolidated night sleep. And babies thrive off routine. They thrive off predictability. When babies know what is coming next, and toddlers, when they know what is coming next in their day, they feel safe, they feel secure. When there is that, you know, that ambiguity or that vagueness of their day is kind of all over the place, and that you don't really know what's happening, it can cause, you know, the baby or the toddler to be quite distressed and unsettled. So babies absolutely thrive off routine. They eat better, they sleep better, they're more content, they're in a better mood. And it helps parents as well. I mean, as as parents, if we know what our day looks like and there's a sense of structure to it, we feel more in control. We feel that we can plan our days better. We know when our child is sleeping, when they're feeding. And it's just, it's overall a huge advantage for the entire family if there is that sense of routine and structure.
Do you, though, feel that parents, I mean, you always get these friends that kind of become sleep obsessed, like, oh, I have to go now because my child has to go nap. Is that what routines and schedules mean? That, hey, you need to be home and you need to sort out because sleep is the most important thing.
So that's a great question. And it absolutely does not have to be like that. So one of the approaches that I like to encourage is that element of flexibility. So being able to have your child in a good routine, but also live your lives. You can't be, you know, prisoner to your child's schedule and your house and not be able to go out and live your life. So it's a healthy balance of maintaining a semblance of routine for your child, but also being able to live your life and have that flexibility. So that might look like, for example, Monday to Thursday, following quite a strict routine for your child, but then Friday, Saturday, Sunday, mixing things up a little bit, being able to leave the house and go out and, you know, not derailing all the progress that you've made. It could mean that if your child is on 3 naps a day, allowing 1 or 2 of those naps to be in their cot in their room and 1 of those naps to be on the go, whether it's in the car or on the pram or in a carrier. So absolutely, you can have that element of flexibility while still maintaining a good routine. It does not mean that your life has to go out the window and you can't do anything or enjoy yourselves.
This is Bump and Beyond with Yolandi Becker, the show about pregnancy and babies. 101.9 megahertz of life.
Yes, this is 101.9 High FM, and this is Bumping Beyond with me, your host, Yolandi Becker. And where have you been? The show is basically done. You've missed most of the show. So don't despair. Luckily, this show and all of my shows are available as a podcast for you to go listen to. Again, if you don't have the High FM app yet, you should go download it because you can easily go listen to all of the podcasts and everything. And also live, you can listen through the app. On your phone, which is easy to do then. I mean, these days also, the car, it doesn't matter where you are then. If you're not in the range of High FM, you can still listen to it through your phone on your Bluetooth. I don't know how the cars work, but mine does do that. So you can listen to us anytime. So go and download that so that you are able to not miss anything and go listen to the podcast afterwards. It's been a wonderful discussion. I've been speaking to sleep consultant Gabby Udilovitz about sleep and how it's possible for every family. And she's been wonderful in giving us what is normal, what is not normal, and implementing some things to help you to sleep better as a family. Gabby, before you go, one last question, because I think one thing that parents don't realize or have experienced, and it's a dreaded word, is what is a sleep regression?
Yeah, it's a phrase that parents are very scared of and they run away from it purely because when your child goes through a sleep regression, their sleep is impacted. So a sleep regression is when there is a decline in your child's sleep owing to a developmental milestone that they're hitting, whether it's cognitively or physically. It could be crawling or walking or pulling up or learning to talk. When your child goes through a developmental milestone, their brain is active, it's working overtime, and it does have an impact on their sleep. So while on one hand, yes, it's not great that their sleep's being impacted, it's also very assuring to know that your child is reaching their milestones and they're developing in the way that they should. So there's a couple of sleep regressions that happen over a child's life. You know, you've got the 4 month, you've got the 8 month when they're learning to crawl, the 12 month when they're learning to walk. Separation anxiety peaks at 18 months. So there are quite a few. But what I can say is that if you have a child who is sleep trained, who is in a good routine, a good structure, who has that very healthy sleep foundation and hygiene that has been set for them by the parents, you will feel the implications of the sleep regression far less than a child who is, say, not sleep trained or has good sleep habits. So typically, you know, whereas a sleep regression can last somewhere from up to 6 weeks, which is so difficult for the family. But again, if you have a child who knows how to sleep well, fall asleep independently, they're in a good routine, it can last maybe 2 to 3 days. So again, that's why there's such an advantage for setting up that sleep foundation for your child. Don't be scared of sleep regressions. It just means your child is developing. And with the right support and guidance, you can get through the sleep regression and go back to having a really good sleep routine.
Great. Gabby, it was wonderful having you on the show today. Before you go, please just tell people where they can find you.
Thank you so much. It's been so wonderful chatting to you. So you can find me on my website, which is www.little-dreamers.co.za. You are also welcome to contact me on 082-426-6469. So my company is called Little Dreamers, and that's where you can find me. And I would love anyone who's listening to this, I would love to help you.
Great. Thank you so much, Gabby. Have a wonderful day.
Thank you so much. Have a good day.
You too. On that note, I'm joined by the regional clinic manager from Dis-Chem, Lizelle Fourie. Hello, Lizelle. How are you today?
Oh, Yolandi. Great. And you?
Just fine. I hope you've been sleeping well.
Actually not, because we have a sick baby.
Gabby is maybe the person to talk to. On that note, I feel like that's one thing. I feel like when it comes to, there's so many gimmicks out there these days to help you to sleep better. I remember I bought this like really funny little, I don't even think you get those anymore because I think they've deemed them unsafe, but like these rocking chairs, that automated rocking chairs, and it helped me zero with my sleep.
But
I do think that there is a lot of things that can be helpful for sleep. What do you feel is one product that could make a difference with sleeping?
I do feel when they're very small, I do love the sleeping bags. And I do feel that makes a huge difference, definitely. And I do also like the noise machines, but new technology shows that the white noise is not the best, but they call it brown noise now. So that's like hustle and bustle of a background that you would also hear as an adult. So that really changed my life. Those two things has helped me a lot.
Yeah, I honestly, with every client, every person I meet with a baby, I'm like, the number one thing you can have is a sleeping bag. And you really, it does, especially this time of the year, when temperatures are really getting cold in the middle of, and our houses are not built for cold.
Definitely.
It helps to create a consistent temperature throughout the night. Your baby can't kick off the blankets or the sleeping bag, so, and they also don't get stuck underneath it. So it's also a very safe option to leave your child in. So definitely my number one thing when it comes to sleeping that can make a huge difference is for sure a sleeping bag. So yes. I could not agree more. An underrated thing that I do feel that people need to consider, and Dis-Chem Baby City has an extensive variety of this, is nappies. The funny thing when I'm saying nappies, is maybe it's not so great for Dis-Chem that I'm going to tell people this. Because I'm going to reduce the amount of nappies that people are using. A wet nappy is one thing, and parents often think that the wet nappy needs to be changed. Nappies are so advanced at this point. Honestly, if it's just a wet nappy, changing the nappy could be the cause of your child a lot more sleep disruptions than just leaving it.
Definitely.
So do not unnecessarily change your child. If it's just a pee nappy, don't worry about it. I can tell
Yeah,
you.
no, they are advanced and they will keep the moisture in so they can sleep soundly with that wet nappy.
Yes. So very, and I would even go as far as investing in the premium brands for nighttime sleeping. Because it can make you do not poopy nappies, definitely you have to change. If your child has nappy rash or something like that, you do have to change it. But with normal just pee, I can tell you liters of pee those
Yes, and
nappies
if
can
you use a
take.
good nappy cream, it really helps a lot to make that even go further because it doesn't touch the bums then.
So that for me is also a big game changer, is proper nappies at night and not unnecessarily changing nappies at night. I don't know, Lizelle, if you have anything else to add on that.
Now, I do feel that's a very good idea. And I think also when you're a new parent, you stress a lot. So you go and check on them the whole time and you hold the light of your phone to see if they're okay. And I understand it's for your peace of mind, but I do think then rather get a camera that you can put in the cot and watch them from somewhere because every time they hear, subconsciously you walking in, it also disrupts their deep sleep. So as much as possible to leave them and keep them in the deep sleep.
Yes. Lizelle, as always, it was wonderful having you. I look forward to chatting to you next week again.
Thank you,
Bye.
Yolandi. Bye.
This is Bump and Beyond with Yolandi Becker, the show about pregnancy and babies. 101.9 megahertz of life.
Yes. This is 101.9 High FM. This was Bump and Beyond with me, your host, Yolandi Becker. And where have you been? You've missed most of the show, or all of the show. But luckily for you, this show and all of my shows are available as a podcast on highfm.com for you to go listen to. As always, I, of course, want you to let me know if there's a specific topic you want me to cover. Today we spoke about sleep. We've spoken about so many different things, parenting. And honestly, I am proud of the library of topics that we have created as a podcast for you to go listen to. So there's a wide range, and it's always experts that come on the show, share their insights. So again, very proud and I'm grateful as well that I am able to chat with you each week and talk to you about the various things that are parenting. And thank you so much for Dis-Kem Baby City also for helping us to get this out to you. Sleep for me is, again, such a vital part of the foundation of good health. And I can see that from my own health and training and running, that what a huge big difference it makes if I get a good night's sleep. So don't think that, or don't let guilt dominate your parenting journey with regards to that, because often we feel guilty that we want to sleep better, but it is an incredibly important part of your child's overall health for them to be sleeping. So don't waste time. Sleep better soon. To all the parents listening, if sleep feels hard right now, you're not alone. Support matters. And remember, we are part of a community and life is not meant to be done alone. Have realistic expectations, though. Newborns are not going to sleep through the night. But keep in mind that also a small thing can make a huge difference in your child's sleep and in lots of things. Thank you for joining me today. And remember that take what resonates, leave what doesn't. And as always, the best example we can give our children is the example of kindness. So let's just go out there and be kind.